Good.
All right. We are reconvening. We had a closed session earlier, and so we've already finished some of the initial agenda items. Next item on the agenda is general public comment. So do we have any members of the public who wish to speak to the board regarding any items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the consent calendar. So do we have any board questions or items we want to do anything with on the consent calendar?
I move we approve the consent calendar as presented.
I'll second that motion.
Before we take a vote, do we have any public comment on the consent? Okay, hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion passes. Consent calendar is approved. We have no items pulled for discussion. So moving to general business, item 5, the district's financial report.
Yes. District financial report is in your agenda. I'm going to walk us through it. There we go. It's in the agenda packets. There's packets on the back. We're working on some technical issues to get the screen going over there. But as we go through the report, happy to report, it looks fairly normal. We've hit a lot of the targets. So when we go down to the LLAD cash, there's clearly some work that we have to do on LLADs. Some are overperforming, some are underperforming, and we can continue to look at that. As of 12/31/25, the non-LLAD cash on hand was $8,647,563, and that's everything in totality, including all of those. The general fund reserves. As we look at the general fund reserves, we are trending really good there with a note of, let's see, prior total, it's going up. The current budget year, we're right on target. So when you look at that, it's trending a little bit higher, but we did just get our first, the allotment of taxes. And so we got down to about $1.6 million of cash, free cash on hand. And then we did just get our first payment from the tax roll, and that was about $3 million. That was all great news until we got our first quarter bill from, that's not a bad thing, our first quarter bill from fire department. And that one's going to be a big one. So that will bring us down a little bit, but we're still tracking ahead of where we projected. So, and then we'll keep watching that. I talked to Chief Martin and Chief Callan and Richards about what does that look like for quarter two. I think that we're really good. When we look at quarter two, we should have a pretty good idea on what that's going to look like for the full year. So we're going to base everything on that quarter two, and that'll give us an idea. But we don't anticipate, obviously, going over the do not exceed.
So the bill from the fire department, is it for the fourth quarter?
What's that?
Is it for the fourth quarter?
First quarter. The bill from the fire department we just got is for the first quarter for the fire department.
Oh, the first quarter?
First quarter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
When are we going to get the second one?
We're working that this week.
Take your time. Yes.
Okay. We should have you the numbers within
The next one is the general fund revenue, and that one does look a little bit different when you look at the current budget. So that's a projection, if you will, and so that one does look a little bit higher than where we actually are, and that does reflect the additional funds that we did get in. But when you look at that, we're going to be right on track, because remember, it's not just what we get property tax wise, but there's also other revenue sources that are tied to that as well. So we're going to get into our heavy season when we get into our camps and those kind of things that bring in a lot of different additional revenue. So I think that number is going to track right where we need to be, and that's what the numbers are showing us there. General fund expenditures, when you look at that line, again, this is and this is only because we sent a message out to all of our department heads that, hey, large purchases we want to put on hold till after the first of the year when we received our first allocation of tax revenue, and it's called the dry period. And so we do our own dry period funding with the cash that we have on hand, and that's been successful. As you can see that line there, and the audience will see if you don't have this in packet, you'll see that shortly. Just push yours and you might have to share. There you go. Okay. Did you push the button on there? No, just push the button on there. And come up. But when you see that, that number obviously is significantly low because we just haven't been spending a ton of money. But that is going to increase because now that the revenue is in, everything, the big pitch pieces that people have been holding off on, they're going to start to make those. But I think we will absolutely make budget on that one. When you look at Department 1000, that's our administrative expenses. You can see that we're actually tracking under the current proposed budget, so that's a good thing.
And that's due to vacancies?
Some of it's due to vacancies. Some of it is just due to some of the savings that we thought we were going to, you know, savings from where we thought we were going to be and where we're at, reduction in some of the overtime areas, and so we are trending lower in administration. When you look at Department 3000, that's the fire department expenses. Again, we're trending lower, and that is 100% because we haven't not entered the quarter one. When that gets in there, that's going to jump up right to about where you see. And when you look at when you look at the line, you know, when you look at about $900,000, that's going to be right on there. So. When you look at Department 4000, this is parks expenses. They are trending, I call that significantly lower than what we have projected. And again, a lot of this is because we have, we've told everybody to slow spending until we get our first allocation of tax revenue in. And so that's what they've done, and that's reflected there. When you look at Department 5000, that one's a little bit different story. We are, when we look at, we'll go back real quick. Department 4000, we're trending at about 29% of expenses with 50% of the year expended. So that is outstanding. We did make an adjustment at the beginning of the year when we approved the budget, and we shifted funds from recreation to parks because parks was significantly underfunded, and that was some of the cleanup work that we had to do. I do think that at mid-year, when we come back to you next month, we're going to have to move some of that back because when you look at Department 5000, which is Recreation Community Center, they are trending a little bit higher than we anticipated. And a lot of that is some of the most of that, I would say, is personnel costs. So at 50% of the year expired, we are at 88% of expenses. And so obviously that's higher. So we'll be looking to adjust. That doesn't mean we're going to be outside of the footprint of the budget. That just simply means there'll be an adjustment between parks and recreation and community center. So, and that's expected. The good news is also moving forward for next year, we have a much better picture on a more accurate budget line on that one. LLED cash, you see those. We do have a few that are under, and we'll be addressing that in a more detailed report on those LLEDs that are underperforming, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions as it, you know, it relates to services being provided or increasing, the assessment on that individual LLED. That, I will take any questions that you might have. Isn't that one?
Okay.
Just for everybody's information, if it's an underperforming LLAD, or they're under budget, or they don't have sufficient funds, then how is that covered?
Currently, they're covered from general funds, and we need to talk about that because that's not a practice we want to continue.
So the CSD comes out of our general funds?
That is correct.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions from the board?
Are we just talking about the PowerPoint, or are we talking about the expenses as well?
Those are, I missed a little of the expenses because I know there's numbers, but everything that we just talked about was on the presentation.
So can I ask questions about the budget? Or, like, what's the $20,000 in other income?
Where are you looking?
On the general fund, the first page. It's not the presentation.
Oh, I'm
that's
sorry. Okay.
Do you
gotcha.
Want to just talk about the presentation?
Yeah, just the presentation.
Okay.
On this one.
All right, I'll hold my question.
Okay.
Anybody else before I take it out to the public? Okay, do we have any public comment regarding the financial report? Yes.
We're going to wait on this part of it until afterwards, then?
Yeah, where does that come?
I think so. I'll just break it up.
Yeah. We want to be able to get on the screen for you, too. We're just going to run a cable real quick and get that for you guys.
While we're running the cable, for those of us working on AmeriBad, what is an LLAD?
Landscape and Lighting District, and that is a funding stream that the community votes on to take care of specific items within their community areas. And so when you look at that, they're broken up into a bunch of different areas. We have, Mark, what, 20 LLADs? 20 LLADs, and they self-impose a fee on the homeowners to pay for different things, and they're all different. Some are landscaping, some are, you know, trimming some of the bushes, but others include irrigation, others include fencing, others include lighting, for instance, if you will.
So restricted funds that can only be used for the appointed reason.
100%. Yeah, okay. Those are restricted. There's a budget for those specific items. That's what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now you should be able to get it up there.
Yeah, hang on. It wasn't on that one.
Okay.
Do you want to wait till it's on the screen, or are there going to be any public questions or comments, rather? Yes, Brad.
Brad McCullen, Kevin Report. Is there a policy that dictates that the general fund covers the LLADs that are underwater? Or has that just been a kindness?
I think I won't even call it a kindness. I think that's been a symptom of the district not knowing exactly where they were. And so when you have those funds like that and we're using the same employees that are doing the work in some of those LLADs. So that opportunity is there. You're still paying payroll, but we want to make sure it's properly allocated to any of the individual LLADs. So yes, there's been some crossover, but that's what we've cleaned up. So moving forward, we are going to be bringing a full recommendation to the board that talks about an LLAD that's underperforming. We'll say it that way, meaning that the revenue being received is not meeting the expenses that are required to maintain whatever the voters had voted on in that area. In that case, you have two options. One option is to go to those individual LLAD groups, and you can ask for additional funding, or they can impose additional, you know, a fee on themselves to pay for that, or we reduce services wherever that is.
Okay, anything else from the public on this item? Was there anything else from the board before we go on to the second half?
Okay, I know you had specific questions on the second half.
I saw our fire equipment rental was at $28,000. Is that accurate?
It's accurate in the sense that that's what we have received as payment. However, we have quite a bit in that's...
Yeah, we have some outstanding invoices that just got approved, and we'll have updated FES and spreadsheet of where those are and what they're from.
What's the approximate value?
Have to give me... about 45 seconds, I'll log in and tell you.
45 seconds?
That's really full size.
Don't look at me when I'm...
You're never going to get in there. Are there any other questions while Chief's looking for that?
So on the in the general fund, there's a line item for other income. It's $20,000, almost $21,000. It's to the positive, so I like that, but I'm just wondering why we have such a large number in the other category.
Yeah, and that's a great question. We'll have to go back and look at the GL code to see exactly what that is. I'll talk to Laura first thing in the morning, and we'll report back on that one.
And then there's two spots for maintenance grounds. One is at 305% and one is at 455% of budget.
Are you looking on what page?
One
where are you
on
at?
On page 15 of 20, three from the bottom.
So all these are going to be different departments as well. Okay. And so every one of the departments has that same GL code in there. Yeah, so the 305, if I remember correctly, that's likely going to be the fire department. We had a water break in a main over there, or a branch line that goes to the hydrant and back of the station. And so that had to be repaired, emergency repair, and so that's where that was put in, coded into. When we come back to you for the mid-year adjustment, we're going to make sure that that was properly coded in that right, in the right location. But we are trending over primarily because of that one big one.
There's another one on the last page that's
455%
over.
What page are you looking at? The last page, 20 of 20. Getting there. Page 20.
It's
$18,000
on a budget of four.
Yep, and that is, and that one's in recreation. Again, we've had a couple issues here, but let us look at the coding to see exactly what those are, and I can tell you, I can bring that back to you.
All right, any other questions?
Yes, I'm actually looking at page 13.
Okay.
So the rental of the assembly hall, the gym, and the pool.
Yes, sir.
And we're at 50% of the year now, I'm assuming. And the gym is right where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Assembly hall and pool a little bit behind, but I've been, I thought I heard that we were just really booming in terms of rentals. And that's been my observation.
Yeah.
Are those numbers going to be better?
I think we're trending perfectly. So when I look at the pool rental fees, we're at 45% with 50% of the year expired. So I call that tracking right on because, remember, we haven't even gotten to our busy season yet.
Yeah.
So I think we'll likely overperform there. And what was the other one you were looking at?
It's the assembly hall.
And the assembly hall, same thing, 42%. And, again, our heavy season's going to come when the weather gets better. There'll be more weddings and those kind of things. We'll have those. I think we're going to trend right on that number, if not overperform.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else from the board? Hearing none, do we have public comment on this? Yes.
Hi, I'm Vicki Jacobs, Cameron Park. Just a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
I commented on this before. I think it'd be really helpful that in addition to having a, like your first page, page 13, you have all the income and revenue for the entire district listed there, and with line items about what type of income that is. We don't have the same type of thing for expenses. What you have to do is go to the individual programs, you know, whether it's administrative or parks or recs, and then track that down, and you don't have a sense of what the total expense for any one of those line items is for the entire district without doing all the math yourself. And I think it'd be really helpful in terms of, you know, having the public who might be new to looking at budgets have a comprehensive budget for income and expenditures to start with. And then if they want to look at, okay, well, we have a lot of expenses in legal expenses, what department has that been assigned to? Is there an issue there? I think it would make it a whole lot easier, because I've looked at budgets for many, many years. I find this is a whole lot better than we ever had. But I think it still can be improved if we had a comprehensive income and expenditures budget to start with, and then the breakout by the different programs. That's how I did it when I was working at Legal Aid. We had, you know, income and expenditures in one entire budget, and then we had projects based on, grants, and they were separately listed out for their expenditures, gotcha. So we can see how they fit in the whole. I just really think this would be helpful, you know, especially, like I said, for people who may not be used to it. Second item, in a number of places on the budget, both in income categories and expenditure categories, we have zero for the budget that was approved, the final budget. So we now have a current year amount of some sort in a line item that was not originally put in the budget. And I was wondering, why is that happening?
If you can give me an example, I can kind of take a look at that.
Well, I just simply on the first page, on page 13, tuition fees revenue item GL4142. You know, the year-to-date budget final has zero, but we have $821 in income for that category. Same thing happens with expenditures. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of, I don't know if this is just we're learning more about our budgeting and we're, you know, breaking down things more, in which case that's good, but then we need to make a decision that's how we're going to do it in the future, and then put a line item in the budget what we will approve for next year. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And so the answer is yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
So remember that the board authorized us to move forward with implementing ActiveNet, our new recreation program. And so in the program that we currently have, it does code a certain way. And so when we come back and clean up the budget at mid-year, we'll be looking at all the GL codes. So what you're seeing there, if it wasn't budgeted for, but you see something there, that might be tied to that automatic reporting in, but we'll look at that line by line that has that issue.
And then I'm already moved down to more specifics. It's just I want to make sure that we continue the tradition that we're going to be adopting these GL codes.
Absolutely.
And the final question. Line items like legal services. Obviously, you've had more expenses this year for legal services. You're going to need to do some sort of, I call it adjustment. I don't know what you guys call it.
Mid-year adjustment.
Yeah. So that, you're going to have to like plan and add for more expenses than you originally put in the budget. Does that come out of some other line item already apportioned, or do we take from... reserves or whatever you want to call it, and put the money into the budget to account for that?
Great question. And so that is a process of us looking at where we're at in totality, the entire budget. And like we talked about earlier, moving funds from, say, recreation to parks, it's going to be the same thing in looking. The intent is to stay within our budget footprint, which I think we'll be able to do because there's savings in other areas. But you will also see that right now for, like, legal fees, when you see them in individual departments, that is a very rough estimate. We just put a percentage across the board. The recommendation moving forward that we've already talked about is just a matter of implementing it, is that legal fees really is an administrative function, so all legal fees should go to administration because the fire department doesn't really have the same legal fee obligations as some of the other divisions, but they're charged the same. So those are the things that we need to be looking at.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other public comment regarding the budget? Seeing none.
Friend Eric, one more.
No.
did he make it in time? Did he make it?
I was seeing
things. I didn't say close, so please.
Not a problem. One technical piece on the spreadsheet, the columns list year-to-date budget final, which language-wise would imply to me that this is what's been budgeted year-to-date, as opposed to the budget year final, which I think is what you're aiming for, or what it actually is. So we're showing the percentages. So that's just a small thing.
Yeah, and this is just a language out of ABILA, our system. That's what they call it.
Change of that. Yeah. That's fine. I didn't know if it's been 45 seconds, so I didn't know if we had an update on truck rentals. Truck rentals?
No. Over and above what we talked about earlier, there's a number of invoices that are... I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That update. I thought you meant over and above what he said.
Yeah.
Sure. So if you look, 4261 and equipment rental, or
4262.
Yep. So those are kind of combined. We separated those out this year to kind of delineate between the Type 3 engine getting hired, and then myself for like wildland fire, CAL FIRE, and then the OES mutual aid reimbursement is for our swiftwater rescue team and then some of the OES pre-positions. So we just looked at the spreadsheet. Currently that's been invoiced is $147,000, and then there's about seven incidents that have not been invoiced, have not been processed. So we've sent in the paperwork for them to look at the time cards and process that. About $80,000 of it is in OES reimbursement. And then currently, like the $26,000 that you see in there, I'm working with the accounting staff of some of that is actually OES. I mean, it was just put in as hired equipment rental because they come from California, like the check. So you know, you have to delineate between. But yeah, 147, and there's still about six outstanding invoices. So
yeah, thank you.
Yep. And then I'll have that all broken down for FES. It'll have all of the info that we talked about last time.
All right, and did you get your full comment in?
I did not, but I do want to mention, just point out some good things. I appreciate seeing that fire marshal services and first responder fees and all that, we're right in the target area we're aiming for, so that's a good sign, and I appreciate that work going into that. And that's it for me for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the public?
Okay. Used to like two or three people, Harry.
Right. Okay, bringing it back. Was there anything else from the board on this item?
Nope.
Hearing none, we are moving on to the item 7, public hearing and second reading of ordinance 2020. Oh, I'm sorry. Item 6, board yeah. standing committee meeting calendar. I know we asked you for a couple of changes at the December meeting. So, those having been made, was there anything from the board on the calendar?
Just to be clear, the changes are the yellow highlighted.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay. And taking it out to the public, did anybody have a comment about the calendar?
Do we put some of these on the back?
Hearing none. Did we need to approve this or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well then, do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the 2026 Board of Standing Committee calendar as stated.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Take one to pass one of those down. These are also in the back table back there.
And going back to item 7, public hearing and second reading of Ordinance 2026-01.21, amending first responder fees, approve Resolution 2026-01, amending the district schedule of first responder service fee.
Okay, so this, did we open the hearing?
Yes, opening the public hearing.
Okay, now that the hearing is open, thank you. It's your broken wing there. So this is our second reading on the first responder fee. We had some robust conversation at the last meeting. One of the comments was making it a little bit more clear in showing it to the public, and so we were able to put a document together. Some of those copies are on the back table, like I mentioned. The numbers have not changed, and so really what I wanted to talk about was the hourly rate and how we got to the methodology that we use. So DTA, another firm that we've used previously, we simply use the same methodology, but not their numbers. And so we went back and we looked at the numbers that we get from our partners through our cooperative services agreement, and that's the hourly rate that we use. And then when you roll that down, your mileage is about, and this is all based on, you know, one vehicle, and then 2 miles, and then 2 miles. And so when you look at that, there's a quantity of four, so $50 total. Supplies was $100, and that could be a whole host of things. That could be anything that they're using from the engine company, from the paramedics, prior to an ambulance getting there. So that's that cost. So your total cost, or your direct cost of the response, is $383.39. As we've talked about in the past before, our rate has been at $214, which is really 200 plus 14, which is a cost of billing, if you will. And so that has been set well below what our actual costs are. And so this is really to bring that up to market today, which is what our costs are today, to make sure that we're just recovering costs but not overcharging on that. You have the ability to set that at any rate that you want. That is an increase of $169.39 per incident, and that is where we're at. So for comparison purposes, we did look at not just our local region, but we also looked out through Northern California on what people are charging, what agencies are charging. Regionally, or our local region here, we were at 214, which is significantly lower than anywhere else. With the new fee, that's going to put us right in the mid range, where I think is good. So we've got El Dorado County Fire Department, Amador County Fire Department, City of Folsom, Sac Metro Fire Department's on there, Sac City's Fire Department's on there. There are others on there as well, but I can only fit so many in the chart. That's why I have two lines. When you look down below that in Figure 3, that's the first responder fee comparison, Northern California. So outside of really the Sacramento region, we wanted to grab what everybody else is charging. And I think what you will see is our rate is very consistent. I would say even on the lower end rather than on the higher end. The highest fee is $1,820. There is one agency that's over $2,000. I haven't got that information yet. But, you know, you look at Berkeley and Margaret Rennie, you look at some of those other ones in excess of $500, $600, $700, $800. This fee is very representative of what our expenses are, and that is what we're bringing for you tonight.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions? Seeing nothing, I will take it out to the public. Do we have any public comment regarding the first responder fee?
How is the fee collected?
The fee is collected. It's a fee for service, so we have a billing company that we engage with. By law, we can't discriminately bill, so everybody gets a bill. But if you're a Medi-Cal, Medicare patient, those are waived automatically, and then all the insurance companies are billed for the remainder of those.
So just based on the address for service, send a bill out? Or?
Well, we get the information for the patient itself. So that patient information based on the patient care report, that all comes into the system. Our billing agency gets that, and we send the bill out to either the insurance company or directly.
Anything else from the public on the first responder fee? Yes.
Just a reminder, ask it quickly. Mm-hmm. The $200 a mileage, that's 2 miles out, 2 miles back at $50 a mile?
That is in totality. So that is for 4 miles, it's $50 for the
so
4 miles.
Out, 2 miles
yes.
back, average, meaning kind of the center of Cameron Park.
Exactly.
This does not account for the fact that we are often first responder outside of our district?
No, I think what we wanted to do is we had to come up with a model, right. And so that's what we end up doing. If you were to look at every call, I mean, you could do that, but you'd have to look at every call and look at how many miles and come up with an average. But I thought that this captured all of that without having to go through that other exercise.
Well, no, I was just trying to capture the fact that this limits the examination to the confines of Cameron Park and CSK.
Yes.
It does not acknowledge that there are...
Yeah, but I also want to make it clear that we, if our fire engine goes in another jurisdiction's area, the first responder fee is still charged there. And I've been asked that a lot, and at first I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense, but then it really does. Our citizens pay for that fire engine with their tax dollars. The advanced life support or paramedic services, that was not intended to be paid for through taxes, hence the first responder fee. So when our engine goes into another jurisdiction, it does not make sense not to charge that individual who doesn't pay taxes here, but we're charging our own citizens. So we charge that throughout. That is a standard practice in our county. I talked to County Fire. They do the exact same thing. We want to make sure we are consistent with how everybody's deploying that.
So if engine 28... respond to Cameron Park, do we charge?
No, we will not charge, but County Fire will charge because their engine, ALS services on their engine comes here. Yes.
In Cameron Park.
Yes. Just like we do when we go to Rescue or El Dorado Hills or anywhere else.
So I saw engine 28 at LRFA and then Medic 2086. Mm-hmm. So who's charging what?
It will be engine 28. Yeah, so the charges are going to be separate. So remember, this is for first responder service. Only the fire engines, the paramedics on the fire engines. If an ambulance is there and they transport, there is a baseline ALS fee and the ambulance charges for the transport.
So just to be clear, the fire engine is there until the ambulance arrives. Is that correct?
First responder, yes.
Yeah. So this fee is not covering the ambulance. That's a totally different...
Completely fee. Separate and a completely billing agency, yes.
So what happens, like in this case, the Medic unit we served first, the lady in her car, they were helping her getting it out. 28 came afterwards. They really didn't do a lot that I saw. Are they still going to charge?
They still charge that fee. If they respond and they're assisting, they still charge that fee because you're still the mileage, the wear and tear in the vehicle, and it's an average cost for medical expenses or medical equipment, but they still charge that fee.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else from the public on this item?
I'm sorry, I hadn't quite finished my...
You were done.
Please
finish. That's all right. And this is as much, I think, just for context, because part of the discussion here indicates that the previous DTA study didn't capture all the costs. And I just want to first, let's clarify which costs weren't captured in that one, if you can identify those.
Yeah, I think when we look at, there's a couple different components, and our situation is a little bit different in that we have a contract for services. So there's more than just a personnel cost. And CAL FIRE, when they calculate that, the state pays, and I'll look to Chief Martin and Chief Richards to fill in the gaps here, but the state, when we look at UAL and those kind of things, it doesn't pay the unfunded liability and those kind of things. It did not include any of that. So that fee is artificially lower. So when you look at now our fully burden rate, it captures that, which raised that number up. That's why. So it's not that the did anything wrong in the study. It was that that part wasn't captured because we hadn't looked at that. Meaning that was a decision that was made at that time not to include that piece. But we're saying, hey, it's not just the personnel costs. We are paying the personnel costs, all of the equipment, everything in our contracts. We want to capture as much as we can. We'll never get to 100% cost recovery, but that's what we decided to do in there.
Well, and I would assume it's worth simply capturing in this, too. It's been 5 years since that was established with numbers from the prior year. Cost of things have gone. It hasn't changed since then.
And we have not changed.
A new contract with Cal Fire negotiated in the middle of that. So
correct.
Rather than a 79% increase, it's a catching up.
Yeah, a lot of it's catch up, 100%.
Right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any further discussion, or do we have a motion?
Close the hearing.
Closing the public hearing.
I will motion that we adopt the ordinance 2026-01-21, amending the first responder fees and the district schedule of first responder fee, I guess.
Approve the resolution.
Approve the resolution, yes.
I'll second that motion.
Waive the reading.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
All right, do we have a second? All right, and we need a roll call on this?
We do.
All right.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Gilchrist?
Aye.
Director Bizet?
Aye.
Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. And our last item is the 2026 Parks and Facilities Plan Phase 1.
All right, I'll take this one. I'll look to Mark and Clarissa here. My trusty backups are going to help us fill in the gaps. So, and we're not going to go through this in complete detail. We did this at Parks and Recreation, and there is a lot of detail in here, but we want to hit the highlights for sure. And certainly if there's any questions, we can kind of go through this. So the entire team, we looked at everything that we've got going on. We looked at all the facilities. And I think for us, the light bulb that came on is when we did a deeper analysis on our facility, our core facility, which is our community center. We can go to the next slide on there. That is really, let me click that real quick. I'm sorry, let me get there. Boom, there we go. That's when we really start to look at the numbers, and a couple things came to mind. And so based on some of that data that we had compiled, we said, hey, we really need to come up with a couple phases plan, and it ended up being three phases. The first phase being here, the community center, and the reason why we chose the community center. We'll talk about that. The second phase being the Cameron Park Lake. And then finally, the third phase being all those other specialty projects or other parks or major components that we need to work on there. So we'll go to the next page. Thank you. So phase one, the community center was selected for phase one because it does represent the district's primary revenue source outside of property taxes. And when we say primary revenue source, it's not that it is a profit. It is really a cost recovery mechanism. We don't have 100% cost recovery within our district. Depending on the type of service, we try to get as much as we can, but it's not possible to get to 100% on those. So when you look at the facility combined, we're approximately $540,000 annually between all of our programs, our projects, our classes, our rentals here at the facility. And that's a big component, which is why we chose the community center to be phase one. There are a number of things, and we're going to get into some of the data real quick here. I promise not to go slide by slide. But some of the data really started pointing to some things and opened our eyes. One is I thought we had a lot more annual passes than we actually do. So we have approximately 755 annual passes, and granted, this is not just for the community center. That, truth be known, that's for everything. But resident passes were 555. I'm like, okay. Non-resident accounted for 200. So the non-resident population was really about 25% of our total. Why do I bring that up? Because I always felt like we had a lot more non-resident users than we actually do pass-wise anyways. That changes when you look at the individual classes, programs, and things like that. We definitely have a lot more that are coming from outside in, but passes-wise, it's actually heavily leaned towards our residents. When you look at that next page, This was even more high. It got our ears opening up for sure. Senior passes counted for 348 of our passes, or 46% of all of our pass holders. And we just, again, we didn't expect that. 103 individual passes, 74 family passes. That was another red flag for us. What does that tell me? That tells me that, hey, we need more attractions for families to get them to buy more passes and have, give them more reasons or more purposes to come to the facility, our number one revenue generator. So that's where we're at. That was the user base analysis when we looked at that. It told me that we have a very, very strong senior base, which is great. We love that. But we also have a lot of programs that are not revenue generating. We have a lot of programs that are senior focused. Our senior nutrition program, we had a great discussion on that today. We receive no revenue for that, but there's a significant time lock in a lot of our facility time, kitchen, the rooms and things like that. Some of our other senior programs we receive no revenue for, but that is a great community effort and thing that we need to do. So I wanted to highlight that. When also veterans was the other one, I was shocked that we only had, I think it was four, if I go back a little bit, it was four. I thought we would have had a more veteran, so that tells me we need to target there a little
bit more.
Is there a
price reduction for being a
veteran? There is. It's the same rate, I believe, as a senior pass. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity, and it highlighted to us, just doing this study, highlighted to us the areas we need to focus on. So that's where that was. That's why we focused here. So our limited attractions have reduced our ability to attract younger users, and we have some really good ideas. Convert our daily users into annual pass holders. And so when I say daily users, we have a lot that come for pickleball, a lot that come for Tai Chi and some of the individual classes and things that we offer, but they don't have an annual pass because they only want to come here for that. But is there a way for us to get to them and have them use all of our facilities or get an annual pass so they can use everything that we have here? Okay, we're going to cruise down to, we'll go to 8 of 57. Are you there, Arnie?
Yep,
8 of 57. So the current, the baseline conclusion, current pass structure shows a very high loyalty but limited expansion. It uses pattern, the usage pattern indicate that it's performing well to users but lacks draw for new users. And then without new enhanced attractions, future growth will actually be incremental, and we have seen that. The other thing to think about is there is growth in the area, and so there is an impact to the facility, and that's where I think we're seeing the onesies and twosies rather than a conversion to annual passes. And so part of this plan is to not only think of new ways to bring people here, new visits here, but it's also to offset the impacts due to the additional growth that we have and that we will be having in some of the local developments that are being proposed in the area. And we'll go to page 9. So quick outline for today. We're going to talk about what we're looking at phase 1. I call it phase 1, and that is just the community center is the phase. However, within the phase, there's sub-phases, and we've got some recommendations on that. So we'll walk through these one by one. So the projected annual revenue increase, and again, we were very conservative on this. We're looking for annual pass growth to go from the low estimate to 22,000, from 15 to 22 to 30, so that's the high estimate. Concessions will be new for us, and so we've had a couple of pop-up concession stands. They've done really well, especially you know some of the seasonal items, so we're looking to draw more folks that come in there. They're also our new central check-in point for any of the facility with the exception of the main hall. So when you look at that, that is everybody coming in. They're checking in. They're looking through the window. They see we have these things for sale, and sometimes we hope to convert them to buy coffee or donuts or whatever we have in there. Events and meets. To make this more of an attractive facility, we'll attract more events and meets. If you've ever been to this facility on a swim meet day, it's unreal. There is everything everywhere, and every inch of this facility is taken. And so when we look at our deck, it is woefully underutilized in some of the areas, and so we're hoping to capture some of that area and be able to attract more folks in. They use more of our concession facilities, and we can look at some of the other revenue opportunities there. And we are talking to the swim teams of doing something there. Right now, they have their own concession stand. We want to bring that in-house, and we're going to work with them, and they know that. expanded hours. We do limit our swim teams. We've had some great conversations, not swim teams, or like our public swim or lap swim or recreation swim. A lot of times it's limited to just the number of lifeguards we have or number of lifeguards we're able to get. And so we do close down early at times or weekends when we can't get lifeguards. Or the season is early because a lot of our lifeguards are going back to school. So with some of the enhancements we're talking about, we're hoping to attract, retain, and keep those lifeguards here, which will allow us to have more hours available to our non-swim teams, if you will. So the pool slide. Been lots of conversation on the pool slide. I get asked that probably on the daily. Why don't we have a pool slide? And it's just another attraction. When you come to our rec hours during the summertime, it's a beautiful pool. And people have a great time out there. But if you come to the pool, you dip your toes in, that's all we really have to offer. And oh, by the way, you have to go sit in the sun, and sometimes you want to get away from that. So that's all part of this plan. So bringing another element, we've had a bunch of the littles walking by. They see their older sibling out there in their swim practice. What is it here for them to do? And so this pool slide is a perfect example to bring an element back. This is probably the number one thing that we see on social media, on everything, is when are you going to put a slide in? So that was the concept there.
When was it removed?
It was removed almost 2 years ago. So this is a new product. We're not removing something and replacing it. This is a new slide.
Wasn't that due to damage or defacement or something like that? Or?
That's what was said at the time, yes. Okay, so when we look at, let's see, we'll continue going. This is the pool, the slide location. That should look familiar. This is what the, oh, I'm sorry, go to the next one. I forgot I got this going, you got that going. This is what it looks like. You can't see it moving as fast as I can. This is what the slide looks like. Our team reviewed several, and this one was chosen, one, because it works in our more shallow end of our pool. We only need 3 feet 6 inches. Of depth, which we have, right at 3 feet 6 inches. And then we also looked at not having kiddos hitting each other if they both line up perfectly coming out of the slides. And so there's space in between. And there's a couple different decks, which allows you to load this up a little bit more. So a lot of thought went into that. And kudos to the team who reviewed all the options, and that's the one that they're kind of looking at. We'll keep going a little bit and make this a little faster. We'll get to deck shade. Okay, so the pool deck shade elements, this is one that's going to be one of those part of the phase but sub-phases, and we looked at a lot of different ones. We're looking at an estimate, and these estimates are including, we've got quotes for everything from the purchase to shipping, freight, all of that installation. That is the preliminary estimate on what that cost would be. And so when you look at the shade areas, we looked at on the far right over there, that is directly in front of the lifeguard shack. That area is probably what gets the hottest. It's just wide open. There's no coverage. We've got a couple umbrella shades out there. That just doesn't do it. Those will be moved out into the courtyard. So this will provide solid shade for them. The companies that we've been working with, they have looked at that to see where the sun is coming from. And so this is designed to provide the maximum amount of shade in those locations. So that's where we looked at those. So when you look at these, you see the two red no-goes areas. We looked at this as a phase one and phase two. That bottom one, we kind of looked at that really as a phase two. It wasn't there before. We added it saying, well, what's the maximum we can get? But we also realized that some people do like the sun and they want to lay out in the sun. So we talked about removing a couple. But I think after further discussions, we looked at that saying, hey, let's go with the two on either end. Let's go with the two on the east and the west. Let's see how that goes. Let's see what the comments are. And then if we want to continue with another phase, if we need more, we can consider that as another phase. So that number will go down significantly, but we'll look at the two phases, both on the east and the west side. The reason why we looked at these, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. Let's go here. The next slide. This is just another shot or view. And what you're looking at, the guard shack is going to be at the top. And then at the bottom is going to be on the west side toward the parking lot, and then towards the school, and to the south is the one you see in the bottom. That's the one we're recommending for a separate phase. Next slide. This one is giving you a little bit of a sneak peek. This is going to be in the west end over towards the parking lot. We are recommending that we actually do some excavation, dig that in, and put permanent bleachers or seating areas in. We think this will make this a better venue for swim meets. As it stands today, there's lots of movement in between the meets to see their kiddos out there doing their thing. But we don't have any place for them really to see. So they're either standing outside of the gate looking across the grass. We're not allowing them really on the grass. And if so, it's so scattered, you just can't get enough concentrated people in there to really see what's going on. And then, of course, obviously the shaded area on the east side, that's so far away from the lane lines, they're really not seeing what's going on. So this is an attempt to make us a more marketable area and to get more people out there using the facility.
How many people would those they see?
I don't remember what the number was on that. Was it 48 on each?
On each
this
one.
This is what I recall is 48 on each one of those. And we're looking at 2 to 3. That's going to be based on the cost of excavating concrete and those kind of things. It might be 2, it might be 3. We'll see where the cost goes in that one.
So have the swim teams, I mean, you're talking about the bleachers for the swim teams, have they weighed in that would be useful for them?
Yeah, we did talk to the swim teams. They haven't got this presentation yet. That's one of the things we will be reaching out to them. The initial plan was actually to have shade over the swim blocks. And they said, hey, that would be good, but it has to be back here because they also put up their easy ups all the way down, team easy ups. And so we said, hey, let's leave that area
they
open.
They had that out there tonight.
And, exactly. And we'll move it around. So we did interact with the swim teams to see what would work best. We're also looking at, and this is way down the line, but when we put in potentially a signboard or scoreboard, we want to make sure that you're actually able to see that. And so these are the perfect locations that give maximum viewing opportunities, but not also in the way of where the swim teams are doing theirs. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Next one. This is just an artist rendition of what that might look like in front of the pool deck, or I'm sorry, in front of the lifeguard shack. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to put a bunch of loungers. We could, I think, seasonally, based on when the swim teams are out there, this would be great for rec swim, but maybe not so good for like swim lessons and things like that. There's going to be a mix, and we'll have to move some things around on that, but that's the concept. And next slide, that shows what the south area could look like. But again, that one is we'll call that a sub-phase. We're not proposing that one at this time. All right, and we'll just real quick go through these. We talked about FLX shade, different from flex shade. So we call it FLX shade. And the reason why we chose this product is this is the only manufacturer of this product and is meant for if you don't have, if it's not a new build where you can pour your concrete footings, you can't have the heavy iron and those things up that hold these up. And so this is really good with as little as 5 inches of concrete. As you can imagine, the majority of this is going to be on our pool deck. Clearly, we don't want to be drilling in our pool deck given all the pipes and those kind of things that are in the pool area. And so this FLX shade, this is in a bunch of different locations around the area. Universal Studios Orlando has it, Six Flags Texas, and a bunch of different areas. And it's because those were built. And this is kind of an afterthought, if you will, for shade. And so we're kind of in the same situation.
Would they be removed during the winter months?
We can remove them within winter months, which is another, thank you for teeing me up on that, which is another good part of this is you can remove the shade, you can remove the poles, or you can keep them there. I would recommend, given our, we'll call that Stormageddon 26 that just happened, or 25, did a lot of damage out there, and so we want to make sure we're able to remove this shade when we need to, and probably do that in the wintertime. The other thought was also we want to be able to sectionalize this, so if we do get a rip, we get those from time to time, we want to be able to replace a section rather than the entire canvas area. Okay, and keep going. And Madam Chair, I'll just ask, do you want me to stop at each one of them for questions, or do you want me to do the whole thing and then come back?
I would say go through the whole thing.
Okay. Pool bleachers, we briefly talked about this one. This is a number, and again, depends on what excavation is going to look like over there. The bleachers cost is actually fairly small, but to have them permanently installed, that's going to take a little bit more, and it's going to be some concrete. That's going to be nice because we do have some drainage issues over there, and this will hopefully help with some of that and reduce the time out there. So if you keep rolling down, you've seen this image before. That's where the bleachers would go. Permanently installed so that they don't wind up at the bottom of the pool, and I'll just leave that there. Moving on to the next one. This is a concept of what they could look like. We're not going to go with the chain link. We'll likely have the picket sides on there, and they'll be painted green to match the fencing and all of that, but that is what it looks like. So it's nothing fancy. It's nothing super comfortable. We're going to ask you to bring your cushions and those kind of things out there to make it more livable, if you will. The next one is just another shot. Finally, another shot with the pickets, and we'll keep rolling. So lifeguard room, this one's really important to me. This is a lot of it is just it's a passion project for one, but I just did not fully understand what we had going on out there. And so when we're at the big full swing of things, I look at Clarissa back here. We will have lap swim going. We will have the swim teams will be out there in addition to having our swim lessons going on, and we have multiple lifeguards out there. It's not odd to have anywhere from 6 to 10 lifeguards on duty, and so they are all in this very small space of 124 inches by 185 inches. That is not enough. So when you look at these seats, clearly that's not enough. It really is it was meant to be a storage closet, but we're using it for a room, and then consider that we have males and females and changing and those kind of things. That doesn't work for us. So we'll keep going. You'll see all the way down to the storage room. Keep going one more. This is the room right next to it. And currently this is being used by our swim teams. This was just something that we've just always done. We have talked to the swim teams, and we've got a shed or a tough shed, thank you, on the deck out there that we vacated, and we are going to allow them to use that space. And we're going to use this space, and we're proposing that we take the wall down in between. We build this out into a lifeguard room. I know that sounds small, but when you have that many people, really when you talk about recruitment and retention and you wonder why they're going to Eldorado Hills or Folsom or Cordova or one of the others, we are actually paying fairly decent. So it's not that. It really is kind of the living or working conditions is what I call it. So this is one of those, and they were pretty excited when they heard that we were even looking at this. So that's why I'm bringing this to you guys. And the next is just a little artist rendition. That's me using AI to show what it could look like. I call it Mo-I. So ultimately, it'll be 20.6 feet by 15.5 feet, and it'll have area for them to hang their equipment. They will be able to change in their respective male, female room areas, but this gives them a little bit more room to spread out and do what they need to, especially when you're talking 6 to 10 people in that room. Okay, we'll keep rolling in, keep going, go to the next one. This is just a shed on the deck, and we'll take that, what's that flammable sign off there, gasoline sign, we'll take that off. And this will be where the swim teams will put some of their gear. And then we've actually talked about, looking at something where maybe they get another one, and they brand it how they want, make it look like their individual swim teams, and I thought that might be a little bit fun. We'll keep going. Concession stand, check-in stand. We've done a lot of work in there, and this is really just to complete that and make that done. Today was the very first day that we had check-in, and this is really to increase the level of security at our facility. This is not what it looks like. This is another AI, Mo-I rendition. But the next one, however, this is a pop-up, and again, this is just putting a table out there. The windows are very, very small, and so you actually have to get their food, walk them out and around. So the intent is to change some of that and clean that up. We'll go next to security fencing. This is going to be another one of those sub phases, if you will. I will tell you, this is probably one of my number one priorities. This needs to be a more secure facility. This really needs to be as secure as a school. Because that's primarily our population, especially in the summertime when we have the swim teams, when we have all of our camps. It is not odd to have in excess of 200 or 300 or more children per day coming through here, and we're just an open campus. And so we need to look at what that looks like. There's more questions that we need to answer and how we would implement that, how we would staff that. So I'm asking for this as an additional phase that we look at down the road, but I don't want us to lose sight of increasing the level of security and closing our campus. Has to be done, period. And some will say, well, have we had challenges here before? We haven't had any violent, I won't say that even. We've had some close calls, and we've had some people that have interacted and come into the facility that we don't know why they're here. They don't have a child here. I mean, we have had to call Eldorado County Sheriff's Office, and they've been great getting here pretty quick and escorting people out, knocking and talking and finding out. But I think we need to control what that looks like in our campus. And then obviously after hours, we're wide open, and there's nothing really to protect us. And so that's another phase, but there's more answers that we need to answer or more questions that we need to answer with respect to how will we implement that. So we're asking for that for another phase. The next slide shows you roughly where that the fencing would go. It would look, we're just going to jump past the next flex. It's not going to look like that. That looks like a prison, and that's not what we're looking for. It will look identical to the picket fencing that we have everywhere else in here. It'll be the same green color. The next one is access control, video surveillance. We just don't do a good job. We've done okay with and I'm embarrassed to add that we put Arlo's and those kind of things around. That's not a true surveillance system. But again, I get back to the number of children that we have coming into our campus, our day camps. I can't tell you how many times we've had kids that are, I won't say making a run for, but they're running for a parking lot. Or you have so many out there, it's hard to keep watch. And so that's why the fencing, which is another phase we'll look at. But then the video surveillance will be really good. Probably the biggest thing I want you to take away from is the access control here. We have a total of two doors that we have a key fob to, and that is it. And that's at the office. That does nothing. If we have an event, we need to lock down the facility. There's no way for us to do that, other for me to run around or our staff to run around with our trusty keys to lock every single door. It takes over half an hour to do that as it is today to secure every door. So the intent and the purpose of this is to have, you know, on the computer, you can lock down the door with a button. The other thing it does is we actually pay people to come in later or stay later to lock up the facilities, or if we've got basketball or we've got an event, we will be able to do that remotely and not have to pay somebody to do that, especially when it comes to our busy time of year. We have a ton of people coming in. The other practice that we want to get away from is we have a number of folks that we've given keys to that are not employees of the agency. That's a bad practice. We're cleaning that up, and this is 100% part of that. And then so that's also going to include a brand new rekey of every single entry in here, because we've had a number of employees that no longer are with us, and they have keys as well. And so this is an attempt to clean that up. I know that's a high number. That is the number. Okay, moving further to really AB 1600, which is our park impact fees. We were looking for ways. You're going to ask, well, how do we pay for this? So we're looking for things that offset the impact due to new growth. And we're also at the second phase is us looking at ways to bring additional revenue opportunities, which all helps offset our costs. The more people that come to our programs, the more things that we're able to do. That was the purpose and intent of this. When we look at the allowable usage, we have ran this preliminarily by the county. They looked at the things that we're talking about and have indicated, yes, those are allowable usage. And so that's part of, you know, our recommendation that we'll get to at the end. Let's go down to a couple. I tell you, I want to go slide to slide. Keep going, keep going, keep going. We're going to move down to the project cost page. So the project cost page, the total cost is $557,395. But we're also talking about a few sub-phases that we will remove from this. And so that'll bring that down, you know, at least the 50,000, and it, we'll look at that the shade structures. That'll come down considerably because that was one of the bigger shades on the other side. So we'll get revised estimates on what that would look like there. So you're going to ask is, well, how much money do we have? Well, I'm going to tell you, $1,876,444 as of a week and a half ago. And so obviously that continues to grow, and that's what we would be proposing. We also have roughly $120,000 still that was earmarked of our Prop 68 funds. If you'll remember, we had most of that planned for the splash pad at the lake. We did not do that. We had some things that we done over at Krista, and so that took a portion of those funds. And then since we're not using the remainder of about $120,000, that's Nikki and then the rest of the team to work on converting this over for usage here at the facility. So those funds would potentially be available to offset one of those or a big portion of those projects. And with that, Madam President, I'll stop talking and ask any questions.
All right. So just using those numbers, since you don't have new estimates at the moment, we end up like with $1,003,000 in park impact fees left over.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board?
I already saw it in
the parks work. And I already saw it in
DNA. Yeah. my only question is that last one, was it Prop 68?
Yes.
I guess I would be concerned that it was specifically intended for projects at the lake.
It was not, actually.
Really?
No. And so it was projects. That was just one of the projects that we identified. We also had a project at Krista, which was...
They did the reconditioning of the turf.
There we go.
Okay.
So we use those funds at different locations. That was just one that was identified by the board. But then since we didn't move forward with the splash pad, those funds are available.
Okay. Okay, so it's not like it's lost, I guess that was my thought.
No, we still have to go through a process with the folks down at the state to convert it over for use on whatever we identify. So we still need to go through that process. There's a chance they could say no, but we've had 3 meetings with them, and they're encouraging us to file for that change of use.
Well, or the other way of looking at it is, would we want to save those funds for future projects at the lake?
I think that that's not going to be there forever. I think these funds, the Prop 68 funds, if we don't use them, they'll be reallocated to another agency.
Okay.
So I do think that we need to identify and use those funds before we lose those funds. Now, with respect to the AB 1600 funds, that can be used anywhere within the district to offset the impacts of growth in the area.
Right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I see this as phase one, mm-hmm. but there's no discussion of phase 2 or 3. There's no list of projects. Basically, a 3-phase plan that is, there's nothing but phase one. So I have a concern about that because we're not identifying what our projects we want to do elsewhere in the district, mm-hmm. and we're focusing all of our attention and effort on the community center. When there are projects that the board has supported for years that have sat idle, that will take years to develop. It is not a call up the fence guy and put it in project.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple versions of this. So what is there a list? Do we have projects for phase 1, phase 2, and 3?
We don't have a hard list of projects for phase 2 and 3, but we have to go back to where I started this conversation and the purpose and intent of why we chose the community center as being phase 1. We did that because this is the primary revenue generator. This is the primary opportunity to increase revenue coming in. If we're successful in doing that, then there's additional revenue that will help fill some of the other projects down the road. The reason why there isn't a phase 2 is that's still ongoing. We're looking at a number of projects at the lake. That's been ongoing for sure. But then we're also trying to tie the nexus, if you will, nexus study, to what we can use park impact fees at the lake for. And so we're looking at that as well. There will be, just like we did here, we will identify those projects that we can use park impact fees for and other grant opportunities. That will be, you know, another one. But these are the things that we want to get started because we do want to start to attract new clients here. We want to start building the revenue here, which will help build some of the other projects down the road.
So this is staff's recommendation. Did you consider a board commentary in your decision making?
Yeah, that's exactly what Parks and Rec is for, and that's exactly what this is for.
My comments from last meeting and applied it here.
So your comments from last meeting was not specifically on this topic, but we gave you.
Yeah, it was. It was
our
priorities.
Can I finish? What you asked last time, we gave you an update on all the projects that we are working on. Some of those were capital projects, and some of those were maintenance projects or repair projects. And so we gave you an update on everything that we are working on, from some of the challenges at the pool and the things that we've worked on and we're checking off the list. That was the update that you got. This is more comprehensive, and this is truly more of the capital projects that we're talking about now.
Well, I'll disagree with that statement, and I will repeat what I said last time, which was I felt that ignoring pickleball for one specific example, when our board 3 years ago shut down pickleball at Cameron Park Lake, promised the pickleball community we would work on replacing that facility with a permanent outdoor facility. And the board has supported that
mm-hmm.
for years. And now we are walking away from that project. We are saying, well, in 3 years or so, we might go and get started on that project. And we all know projects, any kind of significant construction, takes 2 to 3 years to develop and build. So you're talking 5 years plus, according to this plan, which is only phase one, and it ignores all other capital needs we have within our district. So my question, other question, I can get into commentary here in a few minutes. The shade elements, mm-hmm. How tall are they?
Mark, you remember how tall they are?
They're 12. Some are 12, some are 14 yeah. feet. The taller ones are over the bleachers on the west side. I believe they're 12 feet over the east side.
And then the bleacher improvements, I assume that'll all be concrete, drained, tidy, not dirt, not
yes.
correct.
No, the concrete drained, whether we go concrete on the base or put artificial. Obviously, we have maintenance and care of that. And they're also mobility impaired, ADA accessible. Uh-huh. So we need to make sure that we have a surface below them.
So how are we going to implement that? Build it, design it. How are we going to build that?
We'll bring in a contractor, an engineer, that will help us do all of that. So when we looked at this, that will come in and getting the county permits, if those are required, and they will be. They'll look at whatever footings that we need. Some of this is going to be attached to existing infrastructure. Some of it, there'll be some footings, and we'll tie that in. But that doesn't impact the decking, so we're not cutting into the deck. So we'll be able to do a new install on those and pour some footings, whether they're pier footings or whatever they are. We'll be able to do that there. But that'll be all engineered and permitted.
Are we going to buy deck loungers?
We're not putting that in this plan. I asked the question. I don't think that's an allowable purchase utilizing park. I know it's not an allowable purchase under park impact fees, but I think that that could be something with additional revenue streams, or we look at other grant opportunities to get loungers. I think we should do some of that, yes.
I assume we'll be following all our procurement policies and regulations on these.
Yes.
It looks like we're doing a lot of sole sourcing here and not putting out the bid. So
we will go out the bid.
For the equipment?
When we look at some of these, like the FLX shade, that will likely be a sole source because there isn't another one that they do come in and retrofit without putting new footings and those kind of things or cutting concrete.
You can state that. Positive.
You'll have a letter from okay. an agency, and it'll go through legal like we do all the time. Yes.
Life partner, I'm supportive of. The fencing, I guess my question is, how are we going to control entry and exit through these gates during our operational hours, which are from 6 a.m. when does swim start in the morning?
5:30
in the morning till, I don't know, there's people probably still out here. How are we going to control people coming in and out of that gate?
And that's why we said there's more questions to be answered on that. So this is another phase, a sub-phase, if you will, that we're not recommending tonight. And so that's something we'll continue to look at. But in short, it's no different than we control our gates right now to the pool deck. Our lifeguards open that up. They're the ones that get here that early in the morning. They'll open that up. And so
right.
that's...
That's not the point. I mean, we're not supposed to be letting people in that aren't supposed to be in. So someone has to control that. And that means staffing.
That's my point. My point is there's a lot of questions we haven't been able to answer yet, so we're not proposing moving forward on that subphase. Let us vet that a little bit more.
And I guess I have a similar comment for the check-in mm-hmm. / concession stand. We're pretty thin on staff as it is.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to pair off time to have somebody in there all the time? A little skeptical about that unless we add staff.
Sure. And so it's working right now. Today was day one. We've actually had one of our folks over there. So we've moved her reporting location or seating location, if you will, to the concession stand. So when we have pickleball going on right now, she's doing all the check-in there. When we have programs, we'll have somebody out there. And we have two.
She's on vacation.
Well, I'm trying to do this. You just keep cutting me off.
Well, no, my point is... It's gonna, and the concession stand can just be closed. I understand.
Yes.
No one's there. But the gate, if we're putting this all in for security reasons, then you got to secure it. Otherwise, it's just an expensive, gate.
I've made my comments on the gate. We're not asking for the gate
right.
in this phase. Right. I said there's more work. We'll do that. When I will finish what I was going to say on the check-in. Is we have other employees that will rotate over, much like they do at the front desk right now. But we're finding that the front desk is far removed from a lot of our activity. So they will, they cover each other right now. They'll do that same thing. Or if we have one of our rec leaders or lifeguards, we can have them in those areas because they do that right now. So they're all going to share in some of that. So when you look at our pool, they'll go out to the pool and they are they're taking funds from the community right now. That's going to shift to inside. They won't have to do that component. So that's the plan for there.
Okay. All right. The rest of us have all seen this. So
is
are there
questions
any other
or
questions
at this point?
Questions.
I'll come back to your comments.
Okay. So taking this out to the public, do we have public comment on the parks and facilities plan phase one in the back?
What was the timeline for all these projects look like in the near future? When are they getting started and done? Get the budget approved.
Well, can I just say first that I love your questions. Thank you so much. They're well thought out. Great question. So a lot of it's going to be, what is approved. We'll go out and get the quotes and go out and get RFP. That's a request for proposal. When we get that information back, typically that takes about 30 days to go through that process. Then there'll be permitting. We have to apply to the county for certain permits. And then obviously there's going to be time to purchase things. And when you look at that, it's not like we go to a I'll just say a big box store X. I almost said a store name. A big box store X, we don't do that. So you have to buy from a manufacturer, and that can be anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 months, just depending, because they're going to make some of this custom for here. So all said and done, I couldn't tell you that it'll be done for sure in 3 months or 6 months. I think you'll have some projects will be done sooner than later, and others could take as long as 6 or 8 months to get done.
Thank you.
Great question.
Yes.
Okay. Roberta Bailey, Cameron Park. So on the page for pass holder composition, senior passes account for 348, primary passes, 46%. I think that could reflect on the residents of Cameron Park Lake, who for years we've been mandated to purchase every single person in the whatever complex has to pay for a pass. Okay, so, and so consequently, we enjoy the lake. We're probably not coming down here very much. I get that this facility needs more use, and seniors could use it if there were. That's why I tried to stage a program last year, okay? Because a lot of the programs have died since COVID, and nothing happened after that, and I don't understand why. So I'm not really feeling like seniors are really being considered here in all of these phase one projects. Traditionally, this whole center was started by a senior center. See, her name's right out there, Irene Arnold. And, it's before my time, so I know there was some controversy, but she intended for this space to be just for seniors, senior activities. And we worked hard about 10 years ago to get senior nutrition here, and it shrunk to a little space over here. And I just think there needs to be more concern and more effort to get things going here for seniors. I think there needs to be some kind of relationship with the county. And I think when I was on the commission, and it hasn't changed, that senior center in Placerville is a dump. And it's inconvenient for seniors, and I've really tried to bring that to people's attention. I think the building has since been condemned, but they're still going there. And why not talk to transportation? When they came down to Cameron Park, I tried to make it so there would be a bus stop for the center. And why couldn't you coordinate and bring those people from Placerville down here and work out with the county? There's Placerville, a city, and they don't have a senior center because they use the county's because it's right there up the hill on Spring Street. So I just think there's a lot that could be done that could support this center, and you have a senior population that would do it. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
Yep. Roberta has some great comments. We've had some great chats. I appreciate everything that you do, for sure. I just want to clear up a couple things. We've not charged every single resident around the lake for a couple of years now.
I know.
So that's
on
hold.
Some people are in the habit.
Understand. And we do have an MOU with the county. This is one of their senior nutrition locations. In fact, we had a meeting with them today. We have moved them primarily out of this room now and back into the main hall. They were moved out of there because we had problems with our demising walls in there. That's since been fixed by Mark's team. So they're using that most of the time. So they are doing that. I just want to throw those out there.
Yeah. But the only reason that senior nutrition came here was because we started a pilot program for 2 days a week.
Question in the back.
Okay. Adam Marshall, aside from being a resident, I'm also the Rotary Club president here.
Yes, he is.
And I just wanted to offer a public comment in full support of everything that Mo presented. We have school-age children here, and I'll just tell you our experience as residents of Cameron Park. About 95% of the time for us to do anything for our kids, we go down the hill to sell rock hills. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth of it. And everything that I saw presented here would fix the main problem that I've seen in Cameron Park, which is we seem to be in this battle of saying we don't really have much for families here, and then asking why don't we have families here driving more revenue, right? I think they're well researched. I think they would be utilized by families with school-age children here. And I think it would drive revenue that would then drive other projects, you know, for the district in subsequent phases. So at least what I saw seems well-researched, equitable, addresses the slide is a big thing for our family, just personally. You know, to really make this a hub. And I don't think it's to the exclusion of everybody else. I think for the senior programs are well-founded, right? We're all in this community together. Mm-hmm. There's seniors and school-age families and stuff like that. And I think that one could, you know, fund other programs for the other. Certainly your comments on Placerville are well taken. Yeah. The vet center up there is another place that's near and dear to my heart that could use a little bit more funding. So just one voter's comment that I think making this more of a hub that draws more families and more activities for school-age children, I think would be money very well spent.
Thank you. Barbara?
I just wanted to echo what Roberta said about the senior population in Cameron Park. There hasn't been a lot done for the seniors. And the people that are in this room 2 days a week, whatever, Bill Carey, for instance, he was part of our really large citizen group years ago, and we fought for the seniors to have a spot because that's what was sold to the voters. And then also the senior nutrition program, which if it hadn't been for Sheva Frenson, we would not have it here. You know, because the county really didn't want to give it to us, but there was a big push, you know. And you know, to be quite honest, we're aging, and when the people that are coming into this room are no longer here, I see nothing being done for the senior population. And I like this what this gentleman said about the families, because I've expressed over the years, like Mo, you started it with the pancake breakfast. Mm-hmm. We need to have more taco nights, different kinds of things, spaghetti feeds, to bring the community in. I've lived here since 1991. I do not know why people are not involved, other than we knock on their doors and drag them out, I guess.
Nobody comes. I think you hit it
with taco night. Maybe taco night.
I mean, taco nights, I don't want you to
Don't you think that would be good then to start those kind of things for the community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring the community in. Yep. And they do a lot for the younger population.
Sure.
During the spring and summer. That's all that is here. The kids' camp, so I don't know what more we can do. I do like your vision for the center. I think the shade structure is going to be great to bring in more people when it's really hot. You know, we have to start here and then branch out. So, you know, I like this plan that you have.
Thank you.
Yes, Vicki.
Yeah, Vicki Jacobs, Cameron Park. I think that this, I support the proposal, support the objective and the direction that the staff is going in. What I think we should be doing is trying to improve and strengthen our existing facilities, first and foremost, before we start building other facilities. If we can bring more people into the community center and the pool, I, for one, might even consider coming if we have shade. I cannot stand out there in the bright sun. I think that is all for the better. It makes us better stewards of what we have, and I think that's the first thing we should look at. That includes Next Blake. I've heard so many things just talking to people about what they would like to see back at the lake, the lagoon, and everything else. The lake is obviously very important to this community, and I think that should be business focused after the community center. In terms of pickleball, I have empathy for the pickleball people in terms of wanting to have something that is for their own, that is available 24/7, and is available in the mornings when they mostly like to play. But I don't see spending over $1 million for a pickleball facility, which was at least the, at one meeting we discussed, was one of the proposed costs that it would take to build the entire facility down to the landscaping and everything else. I don't see spending over half of what we have on a single-use facility when we can take a bunch of smaller amounts of money and improve the entire district as a whole and the assets that we have. And I'm glad that we are working on getting, you know, pickleball use at the school. It's not ideal, but it is something. And I presume that you will continue to offer pickleball in the gym. So everybody doesn't get exactly what they want. The people at the lake don't get exactly what they want. The people here at the pool don't get exactly what they want. No one gets exactly what they want, which in my line of work, which is a retired attorney, that means a good seller. That means that it means that not everybody's exactly happy, but you get something of what you want. And I know that there have been votes over the last couple of years about pickleball, no pickleball, when pickleball. But the fact is, we've had three GMs in the last 3 years. Things are changing really fast in this district. I think all for the better. And we're getting our finances in order, and we're doing a lot of things, and we maybe need to stop and reconsider. If that's what you guys all want to vote on and spend the money for that, that's fine. That's up to you. You're the board. It's just not what I would personally do.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, Brad.
Brad McMullen, Cameron Park. The only thing I'd like to comment on is this P-ball. And Mike, I really understand that that is an important thing in some people's eyes, but there's other things in this district that are important as well. And when the pickleball people come, sit through the pickleball portion of the meeting, and then vacate, basically saying that they don't care about the rest of the district, because they don't sit through the meetings. They don't come to the committee meetings and sit through the entire meeting. They're here for their one only subject. When there's other things in this district that are as important, if not more. So I support this.
I didn't know what that was.
Was that a commentary?
Did that come from Brad?
That's my comment.
Thank you, Brad. Yes.
Chuck Nielsen. To the contrary, I've been coming to these meetings for 3 to 4 years prior to us losing pickleball at the lake. I am passionate about it. We brought tons of revenue into our community by all of us paying the gate fee to get in. Every day we paid, you know, or we had the passes. I come to all the meetings. Last time at Parks and Rec, I stormed out when I found out it wasn't on the agenda, which I was so disappointed in, Mo, because 2 months ago, you had this beautiful presentation up here showing us all the different things that we could have for pickleball. And then at the last meeting, the skateboarders heard about it. they all heard that they were going to lose their facility, which was never said. That was never said. It was talked about. It was gossiped about. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden we find out that it went away. It wasn't on the agenda. I was not happy about that. You're right about that. But I have come to probably more meetings than this gentleman has and sat through the whole meetings. And it's a matter of record. My comments
you
are on there.
Him?
Yeah, you don't.
Oh, hell no.
whatever. I'm speaking, by the way. Anyway, we do not have to have the grandiose brand new park with 9 or 10 courts. I tell you to this day that there's room for 4 courts at Chris McCall without putting anybody out. And that isn't very expensive, and it doesn't take a lot of maintenance, ongoing maintenance. For staff, we maintain a lot of our own stuff, and there isn't much to maintain. We are talking about forming a club, a group. We have cash in the bank that we used to collect, and we would like to put forth some money to help with maintenance or whatever it may be. But we're not necessarily looking for 10 courts, lights, the whole, you know, new restrooms, all that. But there is room at Krista to add 4 courts.
Thank you.
And Chuck, I appreciate your comments. You spoke a lot in our meetings, specifically the pickleball. I'm glad to hear that your folks are definitely looking at the club. Yeah. You know, I've asked for that for several times, and that really helps us. We don't have the staff to do a lot of things, so thank you for considering that. I highly encourage you to continue to move forward on that. Yes, we did have plans and look at some of those options at the direction of the board. I think that we can still continue to look at what that looks like ultimately at Krista. I think that we engage with what does that look like, but I also think what we need to bring in our other league teams, or soccer league teams as well, because while we can sit here and say that there's not going to be any impact to them, if you go out there on a weekend when they're playing soccer, they are everywhere. So to your point, I think what we need to do is we can have, you know, the same engineering company we used, which won't be a lot. We can look and see what that impact would look like. But I do think that our number one focus still needs to be here, but we can still look and see what that impact looks like. Once we find out what the impact looks like, then the board's got to make a decision with if it impacts the soccer teams. We have 47,000 visitors a year over there. If that impacts them significantly, what does that do there? And you have to make a decision there. But I hear you loud and clear. I'm glad you're moving forward in pickleball.
Thank you. Any other public comment on the parks? Yes.
Eric Houston, Camp Park. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for bringing things forward that have been asked about and talked about for a number of years now. I want to affirm the effort to work on existing facilities and revenue-generating facilities, because that's the place we have to focus. I do want to speak to Director Israel's comment, which I do agree with, is in making these kinds of decisions, it is helpful to have a comparison. Staff is making a recommendation on a phase, but there aren't other phases. There are other things to compare to, so that the board has the ability to also then set those priorities. And so while pickleball isn't on there, to have included even just a general sense of that, or something over at Rasmussen, just so that the board has a bigger picture, and I know that's more work, that's more pieces. You're trying to give them something that is actionable more quickly. But for the board to be able to make those kind of priority decisions, it is helpful to have a comparison. So just to speak to that, I agree with that, that comment. Having said that, I really do support the effort to first go after the things that we have, make them better, and to remind the board that this is also a good effort looking 3 years down the road when the bond, the go bond for the community center goes out, and there needs to be some effort to create other revenue for the maintenance of these things. We will do a much better job presenting that to the community if what we have is better than it is now. Not going after things in addition, I think we can do that later once we've actually bolstered this. I am concerned about adding things that will create costs, that will create maintenance, that will create staffing when we are struggling to do this. So I want to thank you for your efforts in that. And a clarification in the presentation, what exactly is being asked for here? Because there's the full list, but you're saying there's a sub-phase with the fencing, with the access control and video surveillance, what exactly is being asked for in this presentation and at this point, and what would be the 1, 2, 3 priorities within those. If you could address that, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, certainly, I think that might be helpful for the board to hear as well. Thank you for your comments, one. Two, I also want to make sure that we're not looking at other pickleball concepts. Clearly, we're still working with Buckeye Union. We do have a draft MOU with them that we a couple edits. There's probably 4 or 5 items that they want to see addressed within that MOU, and then we will have additional potential space there. We're also talking with Pleasant Grove Elementary as well over Shingle Springs. Over off of Silver Springs Drive. We're talking with them as well. Same thing within our district. That might be an MOU opportunity, so we are looking at those. Specifically to your last questions there, Eric, and thank you. You know, when we look at this, the total amount was $557,395, including all of those. What we're specifically asking for is, and I'd say the priority would be the slide. I think that's the quickest. I'm also hoping that that can be done prior to our busy system season, and that would drive immediate revenue and potential passes. So that would be the number one priority. The shade structure is kind of coincides with that, except the two phases on the west and east ends. The south end, we want to look at that a little bit down the road, so we would take that off. So of that $175,000, that's definitely a bigger portion. We would have to go back and we'll ask them, what does that look like? We have the numbers. It's just not in this presentation. The lifeguard room, obviously, is the same high priority. And then the other projects would be the security fencing. We would pull that. That'll be another phase that we look at once we get those other questions answered. And then access control, concession, and check-in. That is, we're asking for all of those items. So remove tonight one of the shade structures, and we can talk about how we do that. And then the security fencing, we would be removing that component from this ask as well tonight.
With the clarification that any of these projects can come back to the board.
Oh, they have to.
And all of the pieces, so this is not a blanket.
This is not a go spend.
This is for everybody's consumption, just to make sure that this is permission for staff to move forward and pursue these. Yep. The board will continue to oversee decisions on that.
100%.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good questions. Thank you.
Okay. I believe everybody out in the public, except two people, have spoken. Do we have any further public comment on this item? Bring it back to the board.
Okay. Well, I'm on the Parks Committee, and so I'm familiar with these and have seen the presentation, and I actually appreciate the idea of working with what we already have, our structures, and improving them and that sort of thing. I'm less comfortable about the security fencing, having worked in the Youth Authority, I've worked in high crime schools in Stockton, but that's not our schools up here. They're pretty open. And it's something I really like you to think. I don't want that prison kind of a feeling to it. So that would be something to really think through carefully. How do we make it open but make it safe? So I think that's maybe a more complicated thing. I was out there watching the swim team today and trying to imagine what it might look like. And all the people trying to watch their kid, and they're all shoulder to shoulder, and then they're blocking out everybody. So I hope the bleachers would work, that people would not block the view because they could sit there and watch. But and I don't know that people know this, but I found that is I'm a lap swimmer, and they have lifeguards are on 30 minutes and they're off 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're actually taking a break. They're 30 minutes off. And where do they go? And it's cold and foggy in the morning. They go back into that godforsaken room that you saw pictures of. So, and it is intense work being a lifeguard. You really have to be focused. So that would be a really important thing, is to make that a desirable and nice place to be here and to work, and we value our employees. So that's really important to me. The access control, and you explained that really well, our Parks Committee, the doors can electronically be locked or unlocked, and there's so many advantages to doing that. I think that's a very, very clever idea. One of them even being an employee gets fired and has a key he takes home and can come in at any time. So that, anyway, or remotely, the door has been unlocked, left unlocked, and somebody can be certain everything is secure at the end of the day.
And they can all be locked as opposed to it taking half an hour.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, and then the check-in, I think, is we're remaining to see how that works and so forth. There might be badges that at conventions that you wear around your neck. There could be something very visible that could take care of that, and maybe a it's a spot check. So I applaud you for trying it. I hope it works. I really do. But
thank you.
By and large, I like the ideas. What I'm not happy with, and it maybe relates a little bit to some of the other comments, I'd like to see a commitment for 1 year on this, maybe, if that's doable. But we're looking maybe set year two, year three. Mm. What are other projects that we should be considering? And I the pickleball is a good example. I see the school thing as a transition. It maybe could be replaced at some point by a more permanent structure. Mm. The lake, we've looked at improving the docks or a boat ramp. Why should those be dismissed? Those maybe could be year two, or maybe they're working on simultaneously with this. Because often you're waiting for a contractor for a permit. So it would be, the prioritizing is good, but I'd really like to see a multi-year plan here. And again, I appreciate the thoroughness that's gone into this, and I think there's a lot of good things that will improve this community center. But I don't want to lose the bigger picture, and I'd like to know, as a board member, well, we are going to address that when people ask me, maybe in year two we're going to get to that project, whatever that looks like. So anyway, that's my comments.
Okay, thank you. Any other board comments?
I just want to acknowledge that the recreation team in the staff report that is in tonight's packet is working on senior programs.
Mm-hmm.
So Calista and her team is trying to make senior drama a more consistent class, and she's looking at other things with Tai Chi and other classes. So they are working on programs.
Yeah, well done. Thank
you. It was in tonight's report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the comments absorbed into my thoughts here are, it would be nice to have an idea, kind of like a skeleton of what those other projects that are being considered in phase two and three. Not necessarily a giant detail of them, but just to give us some comparison of what we're trading off on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all of these things, not all, the slide, the shade, are things that we already said go for. So I have no problem with any of those. I think the lifeguard room is a necessity. I like the check-in stand. I like the bleachers. I think one of the things we need to do is evaluate all our projects against what other people have said, is that are we investing in our current facilities? That's really important to maintain what we have, work on what we have, make sure who those user groups are. Are those user groups our residents, since we're paying for them, or are those residents more, are we building stuff for residents who are coming from the greater community? I think it's important that when we look at what we're building here or investing in here, that they improve the lives of our residents. So I think that would be a general big box we need to compare with. I'd like to see how the survey would interlace with probably other projects, phase two and three that you mentioned, and I'm understanding what you want from us is general direction on things minus the shade structure and the access control, the security fencing. You want, I guess it's, you want us to give direction. I guess I'm not quite clear what you're looking for from us.
So great comments, and thank you. So we have looked at a lot of the items. So I know we're bringing to you phase one tonight focused here, but clearly we spent a ton of time at the lake on a bunch of different things. We've looked at bringing the lagoon back. We've looked at aqua bikes. We've looked at the solar cats. We've looked at the docks. And so we do have that information that we're doing. We're looking at disc golf and how do we monetize that. It's free, and that's probably 60% of what happens out there. So we are looking at all that and starting to develop that. The other side of that is, where does the money come from? And so a number of these I've already kind of pushed to and tested with the county what would be approved usage with park impact fees. And some of those are existing. You can't use those funds for that. So we have to find a different revenue stream. So then we start looking at other state grants, parks grants, those kind of things to replace the docks, maybe some of the ADA compliant docks and those kind of things. New attractions at the lake. Absolutely. But the lagoon and some of those, we can't use park impact fees, which is why we said, okay, well, let's focus on those that we can monetize right now that can help offset those that we can't use park impact fees. So that's why we did that. So more clearly, what we're asking for tonight is just really you're just adopting and saying, yeah, we want to move forward with this, continue for phase two, phase three, bring all of that back for future once we get more information on where the funding is going to come from. But the slide, you know, we definitely want to start on at least getting out, getting the final quotes and RFPs where we need to do that. Permitting costs, file the, those kind of things we want to move forward. The lifeguard room, honestly, that's, you know, one of the things we can look at under the general manager's, you know, spending authority and move on that. That, anything over and above we'd bring back that's going to be over, you know, the 25,000. But when we look at some of the other security fences, we're going to hold. We have a lot more questions. I heard that loud and clear. We've already been talking about that separately. The shade structures, we want to move forward the shade structures. And so that is, if we have to go out to RFP, let's go get those pieces. But we are working with the attorney and looking at all the documents. That's really what we're looking for. The fencing, again, we're going to hold. I will get a different quote that takes out at least the south end. But we do want to move forward with the ask to send this to the county so that they can say, yeah, those are authorized expenses. And that's really the kind of the first step. Doesn't obligate you. There's no spending, you know, authority or anything like that. The lifeguard room and some of those other things, we can kind of start that ahead. So that's what we're asking for. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tim.
I guess I'm just troubled by the process that we've been going through here. I don't necessarily disagree with most of the improvements in phase one as proposed, but I have a big problem with the fact that we went from a meeting in November where improvements to the community center probably ran around 200,000 in the estimates we saw. It was significantly less than what we're seeing here. And it included a program that looked at the entire district and not just one facility. And so the process radically changed. Sid and I clearly asked last meeting that, look, when we started shifting to this approach with the last presentation we had, we clearly stated, look, We want you working on a long-term pickleball project. And we didn't say you need to build it next year because we know it takes years to develop these things. And if we don't work on it, it'll never happen. Same for a basketball court at Rasmussen or replacing playground facilities at Krista and the lake. I mean, these are all things that are important that can't wait around for years, to be honest. I mean, some of these things are safety issues. And we're ignoring all that. We're just saying, we're going to focus on this with, it seems to me, almost a knee-jerk reactions to what we're going to do from month to month, literally. And so I have a problem with this. I have a problem with our overall, how does this fit into our overall capital spending plan? How does this spending line up with the next 5 years and the cash flows that are going to happen with not only parks improvements, maintenance, equipment purchases? What picture do we have here? And we don't have it. We have this, all of a sudden, here's $600,000 we're going to spend on facilities here. Well, that's great. I don't disagree with it, but how does it work into the whole bigger picture? This is not a plan. This is a plan just for the community center and nothing else. There's no other plan. And so I can't support a plan that just focuses on one thing. Now, I'd like to move ahead. I'm happy to approve moving ahead with water slide and at least the first phase of shade. But there's a bunch of things we just don't know. I mean, how's the grandstand, that all the civil improvements you have to make to put the grandstand down there, dig all that dirt? How's that all going to work? Who's going to design that? Well, that comes back to the conversation we had last meeting where the board can't give you any direction unless Parks and Rec discusses it. And what happens in Park and Rec? Was it on the agenda? No, you didn't discuss it. There was no discussion about, gee, we should hire an engineer to help us design and cost these things out. I mean, you have no idea what you're proposing, how much that concrete and excavation work will cost you in realigning utilities, irrigation, digging stuff out, yet you're proposing it here. You don't have the expertise to even do it. Yet you're asking us to basically say, oh, okay, $47,000 for bleachers. It's not even a solid number. So again, my problem is with the process here. And it's not consistent. And you're leaving groups that have supported this district for years in the dust, saying, sorry, we're just not going to do that for you anymore. Even though we've been promising for years as a board that we would do that. So I would encourage the board to include long-term planning for improvements at our other park sites.
Thank you.
Including, you know, pickleball, basketball courts.
Yep.
Other improvements we think are improvement are important.
So I generally agree with everybody. We need to see, you know, the full list, phase two, phase three, however it works out. But that was my only comment. So you need a motion to approve at least some of this?
Yeah, a motion to approve this concept. I mean, you know, a lot of comments were made about we don't know what it's truly going to cost. That's because you just can't go out and get a bunch of quotes and continue to get a bunch of quotes and not build anything. So clearly this is the first phase. The second phase would be obviously talk to the county and make sure that all of these are allowable. We know preliminarily they are, but that's the next step, sending a letter to them to do that. Once we do that, then we go out, get RFPs and those kind of things. That would inform the process. I would argue that is not the board's responsibility to really focus on how it gets done. Once you approve it, that's now the operations team. That's for us to get out there and get the permits and the engineers and those kind of things. The budgetary piece, I get that. But the in-the-weeds piece, that's my job. That's our job. We go out there. We talk to the consultants. We talk to the engineers. We talk to the contractors. So I think we're getting wrapped around the axles on that a little bit. We'll go do all those things. This is the first step. I want to make sure we understand that we are not blinders on everything else that we have out there. We looked at a number of things, and Mark can tell you, we actually had a full plan for Cameron Park Lake. However, you start to look in there going, okay, that's not allowable. That's a replacement. That's not allowable. That's not allowable. So you quickly get back to, we can't use park impact fees for a lot of things that we need, want to do out there. This gave us the biggest impact that also drives additional revenue that helps with those other programs. So when we look at whole plan, we've had a number of plans in this district, and where are they today? We spent a lot of money on those plans, and they sit on a shelf. Not because we don't want to do them, it's because we don't have the funding to do those. So we can go out and get the fanciest consultant to say, this is your plan for the whole district. It's going to cost you $8 million. Where does that come from? Where this is focusing on, we know that this is going to have a positive impact on the community. We know that there's funding available that we have to spend for these types of projects. It is focusing on our existing infrastructure, but oh, by the way, it brings in additional revenue as opposed to adding something else that this district and this team has to go out and support with no revenue stream associated with it. We don't have the people, and we won't have the people for some time. I think we need to continue to look at pickleball. I'm committed to that. We were working with the school district right now. I think there's some other options to look at Krista, but we also need to make sure that we bring in the other groups to make sure there won't be an impact. Mm-hmm. I hear you loud and clear in the overall plan. I think we've given you great first phase or swag at that, add the other components, but we're also going to have to come up with, well, where does the money come from for those other pieces?
Okay. Well, so you're asking us to authorize you to send these five projects to the county to verify that they can be used for park impact.
Yes, and also the ones that are under the general manager's authority to move forward, lifeguard room and some of those, the check-in stand, those improvements, yes. Because that's, again, funding that's there once the board, the supervisors, approves that. The others we're going to have to go out to RFP for, for those, and we're asking for authorization to move forward on those so we know exactly what the true cost is going to be.
Do you need permits for the lifeguard room and the check-in?
Yes. For the check-in stand, I don't think we need any permits on that one. The lifeguard room, absolutely, will be taking a wall out electrical, so that'll be a minor, probably over-the-counter permit on that one.
Okay. I had a question. these proposed improvements don't include replastering the pool.
They do not.
So what's our plan here?
So it's not on this list, clearly, because you can't use park impact fan. My plan is...
Right. So, I mean, that's something that needs to be done, right?
Let me finish.
Okay.
My plan is once we finish our lease with the engine, fire engine that we have, that is funding that we can use. I think what we should be doing is we go out and we look at municipal funding to basically get a loan for resurfacing that. That would be probably $300,000 to $400,000. And so as opposed to having that payment for the fire engine, we'd continue that within the budget. We now have that payment for replacing the plaster in the pool. That's the plan. There's no other funding stream to do that. I think that would be too much to take out of reserves, and we can't use park impact fees to resurface the pool.
Okay.
So
we're
going to
take a loan.
Yes.
Capital.
Absolutely. We don't have the funding or any other funding stream. That's absolutely what we need to do.
All right. Anything else, or do we have a motion from somebody?
I think we're just giving direction, aren't we? Does it require a vote?
I like a motion. It codifies, you know, what we've talked about, and it gives, you know, the team the support to move forward on these things, knowing that we do have several things to bring back to you for final approval and moving forward for purchasing. Yes.
So I'll move that we give permission to the GM to move forward on these projects, getting necessary permits, with the exception of the security fencing. So there's six items: the slide, the shade structures, the bleachers, the lifeguard room, the access control, the electronics, and the check-in concession stand.
All right, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
All right, motion passes 4-1. Moving forward to comments and future agenda items, and I'm just going to throw a really quick one out, which is the gentleman's letter about the cougars and
yes.
What can
not lions.
Not lions.
I thought for a second too. I don't know that
the,
one.
The
mountain. Yeah, I was just getting there.
Use mountain lions, not cougars.
Threw me for a loop for a second.
Okay. We had a senior citizen apparently observe two mountain lions in his backyard and was rather attacking a deer.
Well,
you know, it was pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Obviously that is completely outside of our jurisdiction, but what kind of communication with the county and whoever else can we send just to say that we support, protecting our residents? What can be done?
Yeah, great questions. I actually looked at that this morning or this afternoon. I think I sent an email to both of you on it. I read the emails from the resident, and yeah, I'd be frightened too. I live on property and I get them all the time too. I think where we have to be is we need to realize that, yes, we're the community services district, and a lot of people look at us as the answer-all for everything, but we have to be careful with what we delve into so that we don't have that liability coming back at us. With all of that being said, it is not our responsibility to advise the community on what to do in those situations. However, I do think that there's some great information from Fish and Wildlife, from the County Sheriff's Department, and other state agencies. We take their information, and we can give that information. But we should not create anything. We need to let the experts and the other bodies of government create that they have responsibility, and we simply share that information. That's what I would recommend.
So this gentleman is my neighbor, so I know him very well. And I think that he is just looking at us as his local elected officials, and he wants us to help him move forward with a plan. He wants us to band together with Placerville, South Lake Tahoe, El Dorado Hills, and the supervisors to make change to government. So it was Senator Alvarado Gill and Sheriff Lykoff who authored SB 818, I think, but died in committee. Maybe just an introduction to them. I just think he's looking at all of us right here as his representatives to help him.
I think probably a good strategy would be for a few board members that are interested. We get together with this resident, and then we invite our supervisors, Supervisor Turnbull, Supervisor Parlin. I think we invite them down and just have a general conversation about that, let them know. And then we can get the support to talk to Senator Alvarado Gill and some of the others before we just jump to that
stuff. I think that would go up.
Okay.
Yeah. And just one other thing, which is my day job, a boss has pulled another meeting back east. So I was hoping Director Israel could cover me at March B&A so that I don't have to schlep two laptops to Florida. The week of the 9th, but I don't remember the exact day. Anyway.
I should.
Thank you. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I've got something. I have a statement I would like to read. I've been part of the board of directors of Cameron Park CSC since 2017. I've seen many changes in our district during this time in areas such as board culture, financial accounting, recreational programs, and the direction of our district. I have worked with five general managers during my tenure. I am confident that the board and staff will take the actions necessary to ensure the future financial stability of our district. I have very much enjoyed participating in local government and representing our community. I've met some very kind and intelligent people, and this experience has provided me with substantial personal growth. I now have a deeper respect for collaboration and the time required to do it successfully. However, during the last year and a half, I have been managing some health conditions that now require my attention. As a result, I will be resigning from the board, and this will be my last meeting.
Thank you for everything you've done.
I want to thank you. I'm not done. I want to thank all current and former board members and the CSC staff for all their hard work over the last 8 years I've been on the board. It's been a pleasure working with you all, and I especially want to thank you, the community, for allowing me the privilege of representing you. Happy New Year, and good luck to you all. Thank you.
So I want to personally thank you, Monique. We've had some great conversations and walk and talks and all those. And I've always really appreciated you being the historian, because where we're freaking out, we've had that before. Oh, we've done that before. Here it is. And you've been really good at grounding us and giving us that extra information that we needed to make good decisions. I appreciate your laser focus on the finances of the organization, the transparency of the organizations. And you've been absolute pleasure to work with.
Somebody bring out the duct tape and paper to her. Seriously, though, thank you for the mentorship and the help and your service over the years.
Don't think we won't call you.
Oh, yeah. Don't change your number.
Yeah.
I would just ask that the board, given that this is a resignation, one is your effective date. That'll help inform the board clerk and I on the next steps.
I think I said it.
Okay, so we'll get to work on that. What that looks like, we'll bring that. We'll bring it back to the board, and I'll tie in with the board president, vice president on the next steps. But understand that we do have a timeline that starts now. To fill the position. I believe that is 60 days to fill that position. It will be by appointment. And so the board clerk and I will get together, look at what the legal requirements are, and move forward on that process.
Okay. All right.
Anything? All of you.
Recruitment tonight.
All right.
Can the public make a comment?
Go ahead.
Because this is your last meeting, you're not going to be here. I just want to recognize that as one of only two other people in the room who were here when you started. I want to thank you for all that you've done and has gotten to work as closely as I have with you on committees and committees and committees and ad hoc committees and meetings and meetings. You stepped in
in a pivotal time, in a difficult time in 2017. And I want to applaud you. Have been an example of what we hope for from people in our community who would step in and serve. And I want to specifically recognize your willingness to learn along the way and adapt and grow to the needs and the changes of the board and the people and everything here. So I just don't have a prepared thing because we didn't know. And I want to make sure to say publicly thank you, Monique, for things that you've done that the very few people in the room will know or remember. But some of us do.
I do.
Thank you. All right. So, I was thinking we could top that, but do you have any other board comments before we adjourn? Well, or from Monique.
Okay.
I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
I have one more piece of business. Don't do this yet.
It's hard to follow that. So, two things I'm going to put out there, and I'm going to keep reminding people. One is I've asked for a poster that has our vision statement and our values because I love it to be a reference point in this room. I've probably asked for it a dozen times, and I'll just keep asking.
It's being made.
Every month.
It is.
It's already being
it
made.
Is in production.
Okay, very much.
Awesome. This
Number
week,
two,
it is actually in production.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, let's put it that way.
I'll send you pictures.
Thank you. And number two is... when I first started the board, and I know Eric is involved and you're involved, when we put the solar system together, which is, what, 5 or 6 years ago, we were actually supposed to be making a profit and receiving income from it. Where in the world is that? And I will keep asking that question, too, because I'd like to know the answer.
I understand.
And I think I might have been part of a vote on it with the belief that it was going to someday change and we would... not be paying them, they'd be paying us. So anyway, those are my two items. And then you will be missed. Yes, thank you.
Hey, Tom.
All right, anything else?
I made my only
make
motion.
Make your motion.
Real quick, before you make a motion.
Oh,
go ahead, Tom. You go first.
So I'd just like to repeat my request for a discussion with the board on fire sustainability. It's been over a year. We've been paused.
Staff will be bringing a presentation at your next board meeting, the same presentation with modifications that we gave at F&E at your next board meeting in February. And we will put that on the agenda as a discussion item. I just want to point out that there is a birthday in the room. Chief Richards.
No!
No! It's Mark's birthday.
Happy birthday, Chief.
Not even close.
We want to acknowledge you for everything that you do. I can't believe Facebook didn't tell me. That's why.
It took him 14 hours.
Congratulations, 29. That's awesome. Good job.
I thought it was 21.
Callan does a ton in this organization.
Yeah.
There's probably not many days that go by that I don't talk to him or Dusty or both. Sometimes several times a day. He always answers his phone. He always gets right back to us. And the care and the focus he's given in our fire service is second to none. So happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Callan. Happy birthday.
Okay, do we have a motion?
We have a motion.
Do we have a second?
I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Whoa.
All in favor.
Aye.
All right.
Motion adjourned at 8:39.
Now we can have meeting.